Well, several things have been kind of stirring around in my spirit for a while. And recently, I had listened to the messages from Winter Bible Seminar at Rhema. And there was a statistic that was given by Craig Hagen, Pastor Craig, and it was that 5.8 billion people are not saved in the world. Now, Pastor Greg has been saying 5.4. Either way, either number is horrific. So we have our work cut out for us. There is a lot to be done regarding salvation. The heart of the Father is for the lost. That's a given. We know that. We're going to look at the scriptures. But our first love should also be to get people saved. Now, having said that, we have an event coming up this weekend, Drs. Gay and Ilke Pei, and they're going to be talking about evangelism. They have experienced many things in their work around the country. So I encourage you to bring somebody that doesn't know the Lord. When you come, they're going to be speaking Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday and Tuesday evening. So just know that we have a lot to do for the Lord in the area of evangelizing. Let's turn, first of all, to 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 6. I'm going to read it in both the New King James and then the Voice. And in the New King James, it says, "Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." So we see in these scriptures, it's God's desire for all men to be saved. Listen to it in the Voice. So first and foremost, I urge God's people to pray. This message is going to be in two parts, and so we're going to talk about the prayer part of it, but when it comes to evangelizing and praying for souls, prayer is critical, but we're going to talk about that later on. I urge God's people to pray. They should make their requests, petitions, and thanksgivings on behalf of all humanity. Teach them to pray for kings or anyone in high places, for that matter, so that we can lead quiet, peaceful lives, reverent, godly, and holy, all of which is good and acceptable before the eyes of God, our Savior, who desires for everyone to be saved and know the truth. God's desire is for everybody to be saved. God's desire is for everybody to be healed. But we know that not everybody gets healed. We know not everybody accepts Jesus Christ. Verse 5, because there is one God and one mediator between God and us, the man Jesus, God's anointed, who gave his life as a ransom for all so that we might have freedom. Remember that word, freedom. The testimony was given to me at just the right time. We also know that John 3:16 is a well-known scripture that talks about God's desire to have that relationship with man. Let's turn to 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. I'm only going to read that from the Voice. 2 Peter 3:9. And it says, "Now the Lord is not slow about enacting his promise." Slow is how some people want to characterize it. No, he is not slow, but patient and merciful to you, not wanting anyone to be destroyed. So again, in another time, the scripture is saying he doesn't want anybody to be destroyed, but wanting everyone to turn away from following his own path and to turn towards God. Be patient and merciful. That's who our God is. A lot of people are in a hurry for things to happen, but God is giving people opportunities for things to line up, for them to have encounters to get saved. Scoffers use the delay in his second coming to question if he's going to return at all. You know, they say, well, you know, we've been waiting for him to come now for 2,000 years. Is he really going to come? Peter responds by saying that God's perspective on time is not like ours. And that's the truth. That's how, you know, we have a whole different idea of time. What seems long from a finite human perspective is incredibly short from an eternal one. P- Peter also describes how God is not slow, but patient. God wants to allow the time needed for as many sinners as possible to turn from their sinful ways. That's what it's about, getting people to the point of accepting Christ. Unlike some depictions of God as vindictive and enjoying inflicting punishment on people, the God we see here desires that all be saved and not destroyed. That's his heart. If we had true spiritual insight, we would not be amazed by the severity of eternal judgment, but by the intensity of God's mercy. He's a merciful God. And so many times, if we look back in our own lives, we can see that he kept us from situations that would have taken us out. He wants the lost saved. Look at Ezekiel 33:11. That's in the New King James. Ezekiel 33:11. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? God wants the wicked to turn from the evil ways. Listen to it in the voice. Tell them, as I live, says the eternal Lord, I don't enjoy watching the wicked die. I want the wicked to stop doing what they're doing and live. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Why would you choose to die instead of live, people of Israel? Notice the word choose. Interesting. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Why would you choose to die instead of live, people of Israel? Think for a minute about the drug addict or the alcoholic. They don't choose to die, but they get caught up in the bondage of sin. And when they do, sometimes for some people, there's no turning back. They will die unless they can repent and turn from their wicked ways. They need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. But people that are in bondage to sin, they need Jesus. You can't clean a fish until you catch it. To turn the wicked into an Apostle Paul, you first have to get them saved. God loves a sinner. He just hates the sin. And we should also. God loves the sinner. We love the sinner. We need to share with them who's the answer for them. Right now in the world, people are hurting and sin is rampant. The only answer for the world is Jesus Christ. Now, let me take that a little further. There's nothing in this world that can change your spirit from death to life and make you a new creature except the power of God. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm going to read that from the voice. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is united with the anointed one, that person is a new creation. The old life is gone, and see, a new life has begun. A sinner sins because that's their nature. That's what they do. So once we got born again, the transformation process began and the Holy Spirit began making changes in us from the inside out. Hatred evolved into love. Fear evolved into faith. But it only comes when we hear the word of God. Those changes occur as we sit under the word, as we sit under the teaching and let the Holy Spirit work in us. We need to remember that whenever the word of God is taught, we continue the process of renewal of the mind, allowing someone to keep transforming from the inside out. And eventually that change is noticed on the outside by one's behaviors and their words. Now, you have the evening news. I can give my opinion. You can watch your favorite murder mystery or comedy on TV or anything else. But that does not bring about the needed change. It's only going to come from the word of God. God does the changing. Amen? So, sin is sin, and we cannot try to dress it up and make it look pretty. If someone is sinning, we have to let them know that we have the antidote to the problem. It's the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. It's our responsibility to let them know they don't have to stay in sin. Now, one of the speakers at Winter Bible Seminar said, he said, the church is committing spiritual malpractice when it doesn't address sin. we have the answer to help people. We don't address sin without giving people the answers to help them get set free. Because freedom is what Jesus came to provide for us. The world needs to see the love of God demonstrated in the church of Jesus Christ. Love will draw them to Christ. And from this, the pulpits here at RLCC, you've heard teachings on love. You've heard the pastors talk about how the world needs to see love between each other in the body of Christ. So once someone is born again, they need to be in a church that teaches from the Word of God. And at this church, RLCC, this has been done from its inception. Over time, change happens. And it is always taught the Word of God. I can verify that. I started out in the living room of Clinton and Sarah Utterbach in 1980, 41 years ago. So I can't tell anybody I'm 39 anymore, right? I guess. Okay. But I've heard over the years, they constantly would be talking about the Word, the things we need to do. They taught a well-balanced menu of the diet, of the Word. We got a well-balanced diet of the Word. So the time it takes for a change depends on the person. How often are we in the church? Do we come to church consistently? What do we do during the week? Are we spending time in prayer and in the Word every day? On Sunday, Pastor Greg reminded us that only 25% of those that hear the Word will act on it, because each person individually is the ground for the Word. So we have good ground, we have rocky ground. So the time that the change occurs in a person depends on them. How much do they put into getting the Word in them? And I'm sure you know some Christians that have been around for a long time, yet they remain carnal. Let's turn to Romans 12, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. We're going to look at that in several translations. Romans 12, first we're going to look at it in the New King James. We'll look at it, New King James Amplified, the Voice, and the Message. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen to it in the Amplified. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. We worship God by making a sacrifice of our bodies, dedicating our bodies to the Lord. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, this age. We're hearing it in the scriptures. This is something we need to pay attention to. Fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight. So our part is to do the renewal with the Word. That's our responsibility. Listen to it in the Voice. Brothers and sisters, in light of all I have shared with you about God's mercies, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice to God, a sacred offering that brings him pleasure. This is your reasonable, essential worship. Verse 2, do not allow this world to mold you into its own image. Do not allow the world to mold you into its own image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind. As a result, you will be able to discern what God wills and whatever God finds good, pleasing, and complete. The Message. Now, Pastor Greg used this translation several years ago, and it's become my favorite. I love the way the Message uses or describes this these scriptures. Romans 12, 1 and 2 from the Message. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. None of this is done on our own, okay? We've been given the Holy Spirit who's come to help us. So whatever you're going through, you can lean on the Lord. He will help you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. All right, let me say that again because that's important. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Stop for a minute and ask yourself, what have I learned from my culture? And has it been things from my culture that are acceptable to God? Because some cultures share different things, teach different things. And so sometimes we have to say, does it line up with the Word of God? So don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what He wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So yes, you may start out carnal, but as you stay with it, all right, you'll become matured, and over time, it'll get better, and you'll know more, and you will make better decisions. So I didn't give you the title of tonight's message, but as we're going through this, the title is, Does the Word of God Agree with Your Choices? Does the Word of God agree with your choices? So your culture may have trained you a certain way, to think a certain way, do certain things, but if it doesn't line up with the Word, you'll need to make adjustments. There are a lot of people deceived by the devil and think that they are doing right. We know that the Apostle Paul, he thought that he was doing right, killing Christians. We need the power of God to be in demonstration to a lost and dying world. And there's so many of us here that have that, that can go out and apply that. We have a lot of Sauls running around in the world who need to be converted to Pauls. There's a lot of people out there that are doing things and they think, oh, I'm doing the right thing and this is wonderful. But in essence and in reality and truth, they're not. They may think that the Bible is outdated. That's old fashioned. Okay. They don't want to live by the instructions in the Bible. But remember that the world always wants to come up with something new, different, when the new can not only be dangerous, but deadly. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So let's look at some of the things that the world is supporting. But as I mention them, I want you to ask yourself some questions. Did I learn this from my culture? Can I support this with Scripture? And does it go against the Word of God? All right? Now, anytime sex is taken out of the covenant of marriage, it is sin. Let me say that again. Anytime sex is taken out of the covenant of marriage, it is sin. Yet we see people committing fornication, adultery, homosexuality, as if there's nothing wrong with it. When I was out in the world, when I did wrong, I was ashamed and I knew it was wrong. But if people keep sinning, their hearts get seared and they need Jesus Christ. And we need to help them and we need to tell them, you need Jesus. We have people that support abortion, which is the murder of innocent babies. And even lawmakers try to make laws that once a baby is born, they have 28 days to let it die. Just because a law may be passed to support it, I'm sorry, but it remains to be outright evil. How do you think the Father feels about his creation being murdered? Now, if you remember the message I taught back in February, and I was talking about fear. I talked about reverential fear and fear. And we talked about the fact that, number one, fear is not from God. We showed you the scriptures from Timothy. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, when it comes to reverential fear, we looked at the scripture that says, reverential fear is the hatred of evil. It's to hate evil. That's reverential fear. There's people out there who have absolutely no fear of God. And that's why these kinds of things go on. So if you say that you're a Christian and you're okay with what I just described in terms of abortion, I question your salvation. Who's the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy? Okay, we know it's the enemy. So why would you support something of the devil? Selah. Think on that. There's things going on in the culture, in the world today. You hear about cancel culture, wokeism, CRT. Someone's constitutional rights get blocked. These are things front and center. Do they correspond with the Word of God? Can you find them in the scriptures? Do you have scripture and verse to support some of these things? Let me say this so that I can help those people who are kind of still twisted and looking in different directions for answers. Jesus Christ came to level the playing field for every human being. He wants every human being saved. And when he came, what he did accomplished leveling the playing field. He delivered every one of us from bondage of sin, from Satan. He destroyed Satan, from things of the world. And he made it possible that we would have eternal life with him and not spend eternity in hell. No divisions. Everybody was on a level playing field, whether you're from Africa or South America or Canada or India, we're all equal. He leveled the playing field for every human being. The choice is up to us if we want to accept him. Let's turn to Galatians 3:28. I'm going to read that from both the King James, New King James, and from the Passion. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We're all one. So when I'm in a room of other Christians, it doesn't matter nationality, culture, whatever, we're brothers and sisters. We're brothers and sisters. Look at it in the Passion. And we no longer see each other in our former state, Jew or non-Jew, rich or poor, male or female, because we are all one through our union with Jesus Christ, with no distinction between us. No distinction. I may not look like the people in the room, but you're still my brother in the Lord or sister in the Lord if you've accepted Christ. Amen. Let's turn to Luke 4, 18-19 in the New King James, Luke chapter 4. And it says, this is Jesus speaking, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Folks, there's so many people out there today that are desperate, brokenhearted. What comes up in my spirit right now, I'm thinking about all the young people that are committing suicide. I'm thinking about the number of people that are experiencing depression that have not really been set free and have experienced things through COVID, and they're desperate. But he came to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Liberty, freedom to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Anybody who has been in bondage to the devil has been set free by Jesus Christ, if they're in Christ, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Listen to it in the Passion. Luke 4, again, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to be hope for the poor, freedom freedom for the brokenhearted. You don't have to have the broken heart. And new eyes for the blind. And that means both physical as well as spiritual eyes. And to preach to prisoners, you are set free. Now, having done prison ministry for many years, we used to go in and say to them, you know, Jesus Christ came to set you free. And here they are behind prison bars. But there are so many people living in penthouse apartments that are in prison. It's a mental prison. Jesus came to set you free from that. So you can be behind prison bars like the Apostle Paul in jail and be free. I have come to share the message of Jubilee, for the time of God's great acceptance has begun. So anyone that's addicted to drugs, alcohol, pornography, any type of thing like that, they are in bondage, and the only answer for them is Jesus Christ. Let's look at Acts 10:38, New King James. Acts 10:38. I'm also going to read it in the Passion. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for he was with God. Healing all. Listen to it in the Passion. Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with great power. He did wonderful things for others and divinely healed all who were under the tyranny of the devil. Sickness and disease comes from the enemy, from the devil. We know that, okay? And our job is to help people become free, set free from that, for God had anointed him. Now, in the past 2 years, there's been a lot said about science. Science has been touted as having the final say on particularly the COVID issue. But let me just say this. If there's anything from science I believe that doesn't agree with the word of God, I'm believing a lie. I'm going to say it again. If there's anything from science that I believe that does not agree with the word of God, I'm believing a lie. Science is ever evolving, and it is to be questioned. The definition of science is an ever-evolving discovery of facts that may or may not lead to truth. It may not. They're always looking, they're searching, researching. God is truth. And as far as I know, science is not greater than God. True science will affirm what God has said. And I'm sure you've read stories and heard things. There are scientists who were atheists, agnostics, whatever, and they would say, oh, no, this isn't real. The Bible's, you know, not legit. It's just a storybook. And they would go researching things. And on many occasions, you hear the stories of some of them that turned around and said, well, I set out to prove that this is a lie and found out that it was true. So let's turn to John 14:6, because science changes. Facts change, but God is truth. John 14:6 in the New King James. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So whatever scientists may be saying, whatever things are out there in the world, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, be careful. We thank God for science. For the most part, science is against sickness and disease, but it's not the final authority. And you've heard me, if you've been in any of the healing classes, you know that when we talk about going to doctors and medicine, they do not have the final say on sickness and disease. So it's the same thing with science. All right? When things are said, God has the final say. In Pastor Greg's message on Sunday, he entitled his message, Distraction, Distraction, Distraction. And that is exactly what issues like COVID and events going on that we see will do. They will distract us from our calling, which is to get people saved. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So you don't need to be an evangelist to evangelize. You don't need to be a prophet to prophesy, okay? Anyone can share Jesus with someone. And just a simple great opener would be to walk up to somebody and say, do you need prayer for anything? Can I pray for you? And then ask them if they know Jesus, and the door opens up. Amen. But just think for a minute, the last 2 years with COVID, how it stopped the church from going on mission trips, stopped the church from having church. And I've heard of several cases where many churches closed down and never or couldn't reopen. And there's even, you know, we couldn't even during that time, the 2 years, we couldn't even approach someone to witness to them because we had to keep a 6-foot distance. We had to wear masks. And I don't know about you, but I've had some challenges with just trying to sometimes understand what people are saying with the mask on. All right. So for 2 years, the enemy was able to bring a stop to us going out and taking that 5.8 billion people to a lower number. Amen. So you can also say that we have experienced of recent, Pastor Greg used distraction. I'd like to say there was division, division, division. And many of these things have polarized people. We have families in one, you know, one family, you'll have people that are going one way and disagreeing, division, they're going the other way. Okay. So many of these things have polarized people. They polarized families, churches, and Christians themselves. Who's behind it? Any kind of division is the work of the devil. But Satan is not going to win. He is not going to win. Let's turn to Matthew 16. I'm declaring that and decreeing it. He will not win. Matthew 16 from the New King James. I'm going to read verses 13 to 19, and then I'm going to read a couple of the verses in the Passion. Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The gates of hell will not prevail against the church, or the body of Christ. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Folks, we have power and authority. Jesus defeated the devil. Now listen to the Passion Translation. I'm going to start at verse 18. "I give you the name, Peter, a stone, and this truth of who I am will be bedrock foundation on which I will build my church, my legislative assembly, and the power of death will not be able to overpower it." Verse 19, "I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven and to release on earth that which is released in heaven." Now, the word church, okay, many of you probably know that in the Greek, it means ecclesia. It also, that in the part of the definition, it means called out ones or legislative assembly. Follow where I'm going with this. In Greek culture, the ecclesia were members of society who were given the duties of legislating on behalf of a city, similar to a city council. They were both called out and called together to function as those who have the responsibilities, listen, of shaping social norms and morality of culture. They were called out, and both called out and the called out ones called together to function as those who have the responsibilities of shaping social norms and the morality of culture. The church dropped the ball, and we know that because for years, people were not involved with things that made decisions, where laws were passed, where school boards made decisions on what children were taught. So a friend of mine said this clearly. We were in discussion about this, and she said, "As the pulpit goes, so goes the pews. As the pews go, so goes the culture. So understand that the culture and many of the norms should be based on the Bible. So we need Christians in government office. We need people on school boards. If you are concerned about what your children are being taught, you may be led by the Holy Ghost to get on the school board. We need Christians in places where they can influence or make laws that support the Judeo-Christian law or word. Go back to the Bible, and whenever you are considering an issue, ask yourself, am I going this a certain direction based on my culture? What does the word say about this? And can I support this with the word of God? Now, let's go to James 4:17. James 4:17 will be the last scripture. And I'm reading it from the Passion. And it says, so if you know of an opportunity to do the right thing today, yet you refrain from doing it, you are guilty of sin. Ouch. Let me say it again. If you know of an opportunity to do the right thing today, yet you refrain from doing it, you are guilty of sin. So folks, we have choices to make. And if we are leaning in a direction that's against the word of God, I don't think the outcome is going to be good. Simple. Short and simple. So this message, I've gotten some other things as well, but I don't have time to get into them tonight, and I didn't want to make it too long. But one of the key things that I do want to mention, and we'll talk about that, is prayer. Because we read from the scriptures, we read about praying for leaders, praying for those in authority, and there's some of you that have family members that you have been praying for a long time. Don't get weary. It takes a cruise ship, I think it's about a mile, to turn. And when the cruise ship is, the rudders are turned to go in a different direction, we can't always see what's going on behind the scenes. But don't get discouraged, because eventually that cruise ship will make its way and go in the right direction. And so prayer is often like that. Things are always going on behind the scenes because we don't know what God is doing, but we do know that he answers prayer. So don't give up. So in closing, Father God, I just pray that everyone that's listening tonight, who's been on the fence for things, that they haven't been sure what direction to take, they will go with the word of God. They will realize that as they renew their mind on the word, that there will be change from the inside out. I thank you, Father, that those out there that have been brokenhearted, that are hurting, that they will turn to God and they will experience his love and they will come into the kingdom in the name of Jesus. So we never end a service without giving people the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So you may be out there, and this is your first time that you've tuned into RLCC. I encourage you to come back and hear the pastors on other live streams. Maybe you're out of state, but Pastor Greg, Pastor Ed, you can tune into our Sunday services, Wednesday nights. But if you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, I'll give you that opportunity right now. And all you have to do is pray this simple prayer and repeat after me. So just say, Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe that he was crucified, died, and was buried. And I believe that he rose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart and take over my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. And I thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. And I thank you for eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's information that's being made available to you. I understand it's going to be somewhere. It's going to be where you can reach out to us, because if you are a new Christian and you've just accepted Jesus Christ, we want to give you some free information, and you can reach us by phone, by mail, by internet, because we don't want you to leave the hospital, so to speak, without the right information to grow, and you need the Word of God. I encourage you to find a church that teaches the Word where you can be fed and grow. Amen.